Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.
Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Kyrie eleison.
Let us pray. O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty for the captives, and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God. I rejoice heartily in the Lord. In my God is the joy of my soul, for he has clothed me with a robe of salvation and wrapped me in a mantle of justice. Like a bridegroom adorned with a diadem, like a bride bedecked in her jewels. As the earth brings forth its plants and a garden makes its growth spring up, so will the Lord God make justice and praise spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord.
My soul rejoices in my God. My soul rejoices in my God. My soul rejoices. Of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. My soul rejoices. He has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. My soul rejoices. Fill the hungry with good things, and rich he has sent away empty. He has come to help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy. My soul rejoices in my God, my soul rejoices.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. Brothers and sisters, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything. Retain what is good. Refrain from every kind of evil. May the God of peace make you perfectly holy, and may you entirely, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will also accomplish it. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel passage from St. John gives us another account of John the Baptist. And as you probably already know, this is the second week in a row that we have John in our gospel. So you might be asking yourself, well, okay, we're in Advent, and why are we hearing about John the Baptist? Jesus hasn't been born yet in a liturgical sense. Last week we heard about John from St. Mark, and we heard that, you know, John ate locusts and wild honey, and of course this week we're hearing a little bit more about St. John. And so you might be saying again, isn't John the Baptist the gospel figure who's identified with Lent at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry? And the answer is yes, all that is true. But my friends, John the Baptist appears in our Advent readings every year for a different purpose. Actually, John's appearance during our Advent season is tied to the Old Testament, and more specifically, he's tied to the prophet Isaiah. We heard last week how John mirrored the prophecy of Isaiah to level the mountains and raise the valleys and to make the bumpy roads of our lives level and smooth in preparation for the coming of our Savior. This week's Old Testament reading from Isaiah, and you probably all remember it, is that portion that Jesus read at the beginning of his public ministry. And so it kind of adds a prophetic evidence from sacred scripture, if you will, validating John's proclamations about who Jesus is. And John is in Advent each year to give us a wake-up call, a call not to sleepwalk through this penitential season of preparation, not to just see how many shopping days to Christmas we have. My friends, John also serves as a powerful witness. John serves as an example of how we ourselves must also be witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive and well and dwells in our lives, and he dwells in our troubled world. You might have also noticed this morning that the color of Father John's vestments and mine have changed to rose. This Sunday is known as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete Sunday falls on the third Sunday of Advent, and it takes its name from the entrance antiphon at Mass. The first word of the introit is Gaudete. Gaudete in Domino Semper. Rejoice in the Lord always. The spirit of our liturgy through Advent is one of preparation, and it's one of expectation for the feast of Christmas, as well as being a penitential season. But this day gives us, we change our vestments because this day gives us a joyful glimpse of what is to come when we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And so Gaudete Sunday helps us to stop, and it helps us to reflect on what our true joy is and where it comes from. Not just from full bellies of rich, tasty foods or the latest in gifts and gadgets. And so getting back to our scriptures, John the Baptist is a powerful witness for us in Advent. John was a herald. And we've heard this before. Someone who came to make an announcement, to help us prepare. A herald in ancient times was somebody who would visit the towns and cities prior to the coming of the king, who would visit his towns and cities in his kingdom. And the herald's job was to make sure that everything was made smooth for the king's visit. In other words, the streets should not have any potholes or crooked paths or bumpy roads. And John is imploring us, you and I, to straighten the crooked paths of our hearts and to straighten the crooked paths and bumpy roads of our minds in preparation for the coming of our Lord. Now, John is clearly a man who does not allow his power and his authority that's granted to him by God to poison his person or cause him to be self-righteous or cause him to be self-important. You know, as I was thinking about this week, it's amazing, but power provides a useful insight into the character of a person. In other words, if they have power, how do they use that power? And so when John is asked his identity, what does he say? He simply says, "I am the voice crying in the desert." And you can imagine he could have said a lot of other things. He could have just as easily answered the priests and Levites by saying something like, "I am not the Messiah, but I still have a big role to play. I have been selected especially by God to do all of the preparations. God chose me before I was in my mother's womb. You know, I have the right stuff, and I have a lot of clout with God. You see, I'm special." But we know John didn't do this. John was strong enough in his identity. John was strong enough in his faith to know his place in this unfolding mystery. And John wasn't tempted to veer from his mission. Because when they came and asked him, John, what did he do? He continued to witness to the priests and the elders and the Levites. He continued to call them to conversion by admitting their own faults and changing their lives. And so how does this powerful example of John the Baptist of witnessing affect us here today? We know he did this many years ago, but how does it affect us today here in Corpus Christi as we sit right in the cathedral? Well, you know, maybe we can ask ourselves the same question that the priests and Levites asked John. What is our identity? Aren't we ourselves Christian witnesses crying out in the wilderness of today's world? You betcha. You see, our life of what I call heralding God's gracious presence and future coming may be less dramatic than John's, but I'm here to tell you it's no less real. We too, like John, must continually struggle with the temptation to self-glory, with the temptation to self-righteousness, with the temptation of advancing our own interests ahead of the gospel. But not to give in to this in some way, even a small way, is extremely difficult. And it's a real struggle. We're all insecure to one degree or another, and myself included. And we often feel the need to become famous. We often feel the need to be noticed and to be larger than life. We feel the pressure to be successful in some way, to be a star, to be recognized. But our Heavenly Father wants us to be like John. He wants us to be faithful. And you know, it seems countercultural, but when we are faithful to the gospel, we are truly more successful, not in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. So my friends, during this Advent season, the shining example of John's calling and his faith, I think, speaks volumes to each and every one of us. And this is why we read about him every Advent season, this season of preparation. Each of us, just like John, is being asked by the world around us, and believe me, they ask, Who are you? Who are you? And what answer shall we give? And by the way, the answer may not be given in words, because words can be nothing more than lip service. Our answer should be by our lives, by what we do and how we live. And then our words will truly outpicture our inner faith dimension. Have courage and be strong and be a herald of the good news, because I tell you, Jesus is counting on you. May Almighty God bless you during this season. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray without ceasing today for the needs of all the world.
For the church throughout the world, as we rejoice in announcing the good news of the coming of the Lord, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For senior Catholic sisters, brothers, and religious order priests, that they may enjoy the dignified care they so richly deserve as they continue to devote their lives to prayer and service, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all the elderly in our nation, that they may be treated with respect and compassion, and that we as a society may more fully embrace their gifts of wisdom and grace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are oppressed, held captive, or in prison, for all who yearn for liberty, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the safety of the men and women of our armed forces, for their families, and for all who place their lives in danger in the service of others, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Guadalupe Prado, Antonia Alvarez, Pete and Minnie Gonzalez, Cindy Schumann, and living and deceased members of the Coutine family, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And now, my dear friends, for all of those prayers and intentions that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all of our needs, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have done great things for your people. and holy is your name. Graciously hear our prayers and grant them through your Son, Jesus Christ, whose day draws near. Amen.
Pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice.
Let us pray. May the sacrifice of our worship, O Lord, we pray, be offered to you unceasingly to complete what was begun in sacred mystery and powerfully accomplish for us your saving work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. For he assumed at his first coming the lowliness of human flesh, and so fulfill the design you formed long ago, and open for us the way to eternal salvation. That, when he comes again in glory and majesty, and all is at last made manifest, we who watch for that day may inherit the great promise in which now we dare to hope. And so, with the angels and the archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the hosts and powers of heaven, we sing the hymn of your glory, as without end we acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain the inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth. With your servant Francis, our Pope, and Michael, our Bishop, his brother Bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father,
deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Lord
Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Hello, I'm Father Han Fan, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.